As a Unitarian Universalist minister, I'm often asked, what's this about so much talk about politics and about social justice issues and social action and all of those things that you're always so involved in? And it's really easy for me to say, well, we are an engaged faith. We believe in faith in action. We believe in taking our beliefs, which are expressed in our seven principles, printed on the back of your order of worship. We believe in taking those beliefs into our lives and living them in the larger world. So today's opening words are actually printed on in the quote in your order of worship. They're the words of the UUA president, Peter Morales, and he answers this question so well. This is taken from his blog. It was July 29th, 2010, the day Arizona's infamous SB 1070 went into effect. As president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, I am a religious leader, not a political one. For me, joining the protest and being arrested along with fellow ministers, lay people, and local community activists was an act of religious witness. An act of religious witness. Now, that's a very important notion for us to hold within our hearts during the service today, because that is what we are called to do as Unitarian Universalists. Please be seated. What does that mean, we are singing for our lives? What does that mean? We are justice-seeking people, singing for our lives. Well, personally, I believe it means that exactly what Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. We cannot separate ourselves from others. We cannot have boundaries and be strangers to one another. It costs us our lives. Well, yes, in a sense, it may not cost us our physical lives, but it does cost us our emotional and spiritual lives if we are willing to close our hearts and close our minds and close our spirits to the plight of others. So we are a justice-seeking people. And we are singing for our lives. There is only one life, and we share it, and we lose sight of that at our great peril. This morning, we're talking about immigration, the immigration issue in this country within the context of the Unitarian Universalist Association's study action issue. It's called Immigration as a Moral Issue. And it calls us to look at current immigration law, especially in certain states like Arizona, Alabama, Florida, as being in contradiction of what it means to be a human being, what it means to support human rights. as Unitarian Universalists, especially this year. This year is the year of a Justice General Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona, in which our intention is to stand in solidarity with local immigrant partners who are working with us so that we may bear effective social witness and take effective social witness action with them to stand in solidarity. Just yesterday, I heard a documentary on NPR. I don't know if any of you heard it, but it was about things left behind, which some might call trash, on the deserts in Arizona, where the immigrants who are trying to cross into this country leave behind them many of their goods, sometimes because they're too weak, sometimes because they don't want to look like they just arrived when they just arrive, and sometimes because they have lost their lives on the desert. I want to read to you a poem. It is written by Reverend Del McCormick, and it was written to a woman who lost her life on the desert. I walked the path that you took hours or days ago. Stones and slopes and thorns threaten every step with danger. I see where you slept under the mesquite tree. Home to spiders, snakes, ants, familiar to coyotes, and God knows what else. A piece of plastic, grass woven into the branches for shade against the merciless sun, a tuna can, toothbrush, tortilla cloth, used bus ticket, all part of your story. Your life lost in this desert. Nearby, a tiny silver spoon engraved, a love letter, your Bible, a pair of panties, a baby bottle, birth control pills, cancer medicine, diapers, small bottle of perfume, a pair of pants with a name and number written into the inseam. Oh, what you leave behind haunts me. I know you. Sister, mother, friend, lover, aunt. Someday, we will all be held accountable for your suffering, your loss. Someday, we will celebrate your courage, your story, your making your way to the promised land. Someday, we will name the crossing, this crossing, an exodus. And thank God, some of you made it across alive. Dear friends, we'll build a land where justice runs free by putting a human face on the problem. As long as we can dehumanize the problem, as long as we can see the problem as other, we're not going to build a land of peace and justice. But as Unitarian Universalists, I believe it is our calling, our job, to put that personal face on the immigrant population, those who were called aliens. I was actually going to ask the children what the word alien meant to them and let them describe in some detail what that meant. Well, that is the term that is still often used to describe immigrants who come seeking the promised land. You know, it's not so much fun to cross that desert and to risk your life. It's not a joy ride. What is it that causes people to take that risk. They seek a better life in the land that it is our responsibility to build. And this summer at the Justice General Assembly, I know I'm looking forward to helping build that land, and I know at least six others among us who will be joining me. Now, I want to say something really exciting about General Assembly and about the Unitarian Universalist Association. We had planned years ago to have our General Assembly in Phoenix, and everybody thought that was pretty cool. And then when the immigration law, the really draconian law, SB 1070, was enacted, the board of the UUA met in great grave discernment and with their best thinking decided, we're not going to go to Phoenix. We're not going to give them our business. We're going to boycott Phoenix. We'll go somewhere else. Well, we're not a denomination that takes authority that easily. So President Peter Morales, the president of the UUA, had a different thought. And he came to the General Assembly and said, as a model to us, to stand for what we believe, he said, I don't agree with the board of the UUA, and they actually are his boss. I don't agree with the board of the UUA. I believe that we should engage the issue, build a land, take a public stand, and have a different kind of General Assembly, a justice General Assembly, in which public witness and partnering with the local immigrant population is the main part of our experience. So I think that's pretty amazing, how we use the democratic process in a way that's pretty unusual in the denominational world. It was bold. I want to read to you from Peter Morales' reflections upon his arrest, which took place when he went to Phoenix in July of 2010. He was arrested for civil disobedience. This is what he wrote. This is how ethnic cleansing gets started. Get it, folks? This is how ethnic cleansing gets started. Not over there, not in Europe, not in Africa, in our land, in our nation. This is how ethnic cleansing gets started. It comes disguised as a law enforcement, as a firm hand protecting social order during chaotic times. Ethnic cleansing is founded upon fear. It requires turning an ethnic or racial group into the other. No face, no name, no medications, no little bottle of perfume. That's how it gets started. They are taking over. They are different and will destroy our way of life. The process ends always, always in violence. Ethnic cleansing ends always in violence. Below is a brief portrait of the early stages of ethnic cleansing in Arizona, and make no mistake, we are all Arizona. On July 29th, I engaged in civil disobedience in Phoenix as part of the Day of Noncompliant Protests against SB 1070, Arizona's harsh anti-immigration law. I was called to bear witness to my faith's ideals of compassion and the inherent worth and dignity of all people with faces, of all people with beating hearts, of all people who are made of flesh. Let me share with you pieces of my brief experience in the Arizona's infamous Maricopa County Jail. Snapshot one, the arrest. "You are under arrest," he said, "because I was standing behind the protesters who had linked themselves together. I was the first one arrested." After handcuffing me and taking everything out of my pockets, they told me to sit on the concrete sidewalk inside the small indoor parking area. The handcuffs used had sharp edges designed to gouge our wrists, a small matter, but telling. Shortly after I was handcuffed, three deputies came by, shoving a young Latino who had been one of the group blocking the entrance. The young man shouted over and over, "I am not resisting arrest." I saw him later when we were in the same holding cell. His face had scrapes and his back was covered with ugly bruises. America, land of the home and the free. America. He said they took him to a room, threw him on the floor, and kicked him. Except for a few tokens, this is an overwhelmingly white and Anglo sheriff's department. It must have been 100 degrees. Snapshot two, charges, fingerprints, mugshots, and using the toilet. It took the sheriff's department more than 5 hours to get from the arrest to actually doing intake. In an odd way, the staff seemed as much prisoners of this system as those in custody. Exactly. We are one. You cannot treat another as inhuman without compromising your soul and becoming inhuman in some sense. And we can deny it all we want, but our soul knows the difference. When my name was finally called to be photographed, I asked to use the toilet. A deputy pointed me to it. I asked that my handcuffs be removed. They refused. Later, I learned from women prisoners that they were not allowed to use the toilet at all. Reflections. I am honestly surprised that such a systematic denial of basic civil rights can go on openly in a major American city. And I wonder at the absence of forces that are supposed to defend the rights of the helpless. Well, guys, I guess that's us. I guess that's us. We'll build a land. We've got seven principles which describe how we want to live, who we want to be, and what we want to stand for. My point is, it's never good enough to just say that we accept people equally, because there are always some who are more acceptable than others. Change happens when we stand in solidarity. And this is where it's supposed to happen, in church. This is a church. We are a community of faith. This is where we're supposed to be examining and promoting what afflicts the comfortable and what comforts the afflicted. This is where we speak truth to power in love. This is where we never accept dehumanizing a flesh and blood human being. There are no circumstances in which that is acceptable to us. Sometimes we have to stretch to do that. Well, welcome to the faith life. Sometimes we have to stretch. Immigration is a moral issue. The UUA is addressing it. We are the ones to build that land. There is a religious response to suffering. Indeed, I would propose that every one of our UU basic principles is challenged by the inequities of this country's current tangle in the immigration issues. Do you believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person? Do you believe in acceptance and encouragement to spiritual growth? Do you believe in democracy? Do you believe in justice for all? Let's build a land together. Let's build a land together. Immigration is a moral issue. We are so blessed that we are in a faith tradition that recognizes that and that puts a face on every human being. So may it be so. Blessed be. Amen. And so it is. How do we build a land where peace and justice flow free? We stand on the side of love. We stand in solidarity with those marginalized among us. As Dr. King said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. May we stand on the side of love together. Blessed be. Amen.